From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 27th day of April 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. We'll take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo from Risk Pulse in Chicago. Todd Hubbs will be here to discuss ethanol demand and destruction as fewer miles are being driven across the whole of the United States because of the coronavirus. And as we close out our time together, we'll take a look at the cash grain situation with the folks at the Andersons right here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Here are the numbers as they settled in Chicago for this Monday. May corn today, 10¼ cents lower at 305.5. July at 313¼, down 9¾. And December, 7¼ lower at 329.5. The May soybeans down 3¼ cents. $8.29, the settlement price. July at 836.5, down 3. And November beans at 840¼, down 1¼. Bean oil futures at 24.99, 6 cents lower. The bean meal down 240 at $285.30. July saw soft red winter wheat at 524¾, 5¾ of a cent lower. Live cattle futures June contract at $84.25, up $1.42.5 on its settlement price. Feeders for the day at 118.15, 70 cents higher, and lean hogs in the June at 55.27.5, $3.75 higher. Crude oil down about $4 a barrel. Ethanol futures unchanged. Heating oil around 5 cents lower a gallon. And gasoline on the RBOB down 2.5 cents at around 63.5 cents a gallon. The Dow Jones Industrial Average about 325 points higher. The U.S. dollar down 0.3. And the gold futures at $1,712, around $11.40 lower for the day. Now we're joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Well, you're welcome. Good afternoon, Todd.
It was not an easy day for corn on Monday. Hopefully, Wayne Nelson will have a turnaround Tuesday tomorrow, because a dime lower in the May and 9 cents lower in the July was a pretty rough day to start the week. What'd you make of what happened?
Well, business as usual. Same song about the thousandth verse, I guess. Mondays is just a no-win situation, but there's some optimism there late last week, but as we came into the trade this morning, there's still more concern about future demand. Some of the analysts are trying to up the carryout estimate on this old crop corn, you know, the 2.4, 2.5, you carry it into this new crop production. If the weather cooperates and we see the acreage get into the ground for corn, we could see the new crop carry out maybe climb as much as 3.5 billion bushels, which is kind of a burdensome amount. When you look at today's activity, we kind of drifted back down near last week's lows. Now, imagine some sell stops under last week's lows, so probably need to watch those lows and see if we can stay above them on a closing basis. Not heavy, massive selling. The fund sold about 5,000 contracts of corn, about 2,700 contracts of wheat, and about 900 contracts of beans going into midday there. So it's just not like massive selling. It's just that the buyers kind of still have their hands in their pocket. This morning's export inspection report was actually constructive. Most of the numbers were at the upper end of trade expectations, so we're shipping out what we sold. What to look for this afternoon as far as corn goes, they're looking for planting progress to be in this 22-24% complete as a nation. Locally, I think we're a little bit more ahead of that. We've seen some tremendous activity here last week. Here, Bloomington Normal, we had 3.5 inches. You get on the east of us, there's some spots that had 4 to 5. I'm sorry, west of us, a little heavier, 4 to 5. East is a little lighter amounts. Visited with a couple producers in northern Illinois and the southern Wisconsin. They were rolling here today, so it seems like it's Missouri and then Illinois, Indiana, kind of wet. The whole Ohio River Valley seems to be in the same situation too here, for a little bit more of a wet weather delay, whereas the north-northwest has a little bit more opportunity to put some more crop in the ground. Bean planting progress this afternoon is expected to be close to 9% complete as a nation. Beans kind of held in there most of the day. There was some talk that maybe this shipments out of the southern hemisphere could slow, and maybe there might be a little bit more Chinese bean business take place, but there was really no confidence of that, and beans ended up closing slightly lower on the day, too.
Do you think that new and old crop futures will have to begin to put more carry into the marketplace?
Well, yeah, we'll have to see. As you look at the soybeans, new crop, there's just very little carry when you look at November futures versus the deferred futures. I mean, it looks like they're trying to book some inventory between now and next fall. So we'll have to continue to monitor that, see if it's worth storing. As far as the old crop, you know, there's a little bit of carry here going into August, you know, 8-9 cents. But, you know, there's no real big buyers out there. If we would happen to see the traditional Chinese buying interest come in, like past history, as we get into May and June, you know, that could change in a hurry. As far as corn goes, you know, lead contracts close to this $3 level. As you look out to the July, you know, there's about 8 cents carry there. You know, we can get in a situation where if we can get the livestock back moving here, a little bit more optimism, maybe these end users will come forward here and book a little bit, but there's just no incentive to get real excited, particularly when we're starting to see talk of these feeder pigs just not going to make it to the feeding barn. We're going to maybe cripple a little bit of this livestock demand here as we go, feed demand as we go into this fall, if that continues to happen.
Cattle on feed numbers on Friday would have shown some of that going forward, I suppose.
Yeah, we're starting to, placements were dinging pretty good, so I think that's the first indication we're backing up some fats. Hopefully in through here we can get some of these processing plants back in line. There was one plant that could be up as early as next week, but when we see one, two, three, four go down, you know, slow getting the rest back up. But there's ideas that just about every processing plant will probably take 2 to 3 weeks downtime. That's going to, you know, long-term be kind of supportive from the fact we'll see some pretty good drawdown in the cold storage reports as we use those freezer stocks to fulfill near-term demand, and there's still plenty of meat around. It's just that we need to get some workers back in there and keep these operations going.
Hey, thanks so much. We do appreciate you taking the time on this Monday with us.
Very good. Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Now, on that note, tomorrow we'll talk about U.S. agricultural trade policy, China's push to reconfigure international supply chain lines, and the entrance of Brazil and Ukraine into the commodity export markets, along with the coronavirus pandemic and how that's all disrupted these once relatively stable U.S. corn and soybean markets. You can join us for our University of Illinois Farm Doc Daily webinar tomorrow at 11 a.m. Our guest tomorrow will be Nick Paulson from the Farm Doc team and IFPRI's Joe Glauber, who used to work, of course, with the United States Department of Agriculture. We'll explore those policies from the United States and how they are fundamentally changing what's happening in the marketplace for agriculture across the planet. Again, that's tomorrow at 11 o'clock. go.illinois.edu/FDDLive to get yourself registered for the Farm Doc Daily webinars. You can find them on our website, too. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. Hey, Todd, thanks for being with us today. I appreciate that a lot. You've written an article for this week's Farm Doc Daily website at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu titled, "How Bad Will Ethanol Demand Destruction Get?" And you start really with taking a look at what happened in the gasoline or crude oil market in the previous week. Can you tell me about that, please?
Yeah, we saw in negative oil prices last week, a real shocker to a lot of people that follow commodity markets. And there's a lot of speculation, can this happen in corn or ethanol? It's feasible, but highly unlikely. But what that negative oil price really is focused on the enormity of the demand destruction that's impacting the oil complex, and in particular gasoline. And we've seen gasoline stocks climb to record levels, and we're going to have to see some pretty substantial closing of refineries to even slow the build of gasoline inventories. So we've seen gasoline demand drop off significantly since March, over 43% between March 28th and April 3rd. Last week, we saw a slight tick up in gasoline demand, which may have signaled a bottom for, gasoline consumption in the U.S., and hopefully that's the case, but it looks like it's going to be a long, tough path to get back to normal gasoline demand levels in 2020.
What does weekly ethanol production look like?
It's really dropped significantly. We've seen it drop almost 46% since the middle of March. Last week, we saw an extremely low 563,000 barrels a day worth of production, and I expect this to carry over for a couple of weeks because we've seen more plants idle and lower production in the last week. And while these lower production levels have been going on, we've seen inventories rise to 27.7 million barrels. So I think as we move into the end of April here and early May, you'll probably see a continuation of very poor ethanol production and it's followed through much lower corn use.
USDA in April dropped corn use for ethanol. Is it likely that they'll do that again in May, and how much has the drop been?
It's looking highly probable that it's going to get dropped again in May. We've seen a substantial reduction in ethanol production, well over 50, somewhere above, slightly above 50% of, possible production has gone offline or been slowed down quite a bit. We're looking at how much production we get week to week. Through April 17th, I calculate we're sitting at around 3.25 billion bushels of corn use for methanol production. Even if we start seeing the economy come back online, we're starting to see some states ramp back up. A lot of them are in low population areas. We could see gasoline demand have sort of a rapid recovery, or what a lot of economists call a V-shaped recovery as state economies open up. But it's highly unlikely that the demand will approach pre-pandemic levels anytime soon. For ethanol production, I think you're going to see more of a U-shaped or gradual recovery because it seems unreasonable and unlikely that a lot of these ethanol plants that have been idle are going to come right back online. It may take a few weeks, even if gasoline demand picks up. And they've got high inventories, like we discussed before, to work through. So I'm seeing sort of a muted recovery for ethanol production. And I talk about it in the piece a little bit. But in the end, I'm seeing about another possible 300 million bushels of corn loss just from ethanol production. Now, we'll get some of that back in feed use. But everything going on in the livestock supply chain, all the bottlenecks at processors, the buildup of hogs back into the countryside, lower feeder cattle placement. We've even seen, hatcher chicken egg sets down 5% year over year for 2 weeks in a row. So the kind of feed use may be more muted than we would expect as we came into this process. So when we think about it, yes, we'll get back some corn use and feed, but it's going to pale in comparison to what we lose from ethanol production.
Just to clarify, in the April WASDE report, USDA dropped corn use for ethanol by 375 million bushels. You think that could be increased by another 300 for nearly 700 million bushels in lost corn grind to the ethanol industry?
It very well could be, Todd. It really does depend on how quick the economy gets back into place. In the scenario I put out this week, I'm seeing sort of a gradual recovery in economic activity. If the economic activity picks up much stronger and much quicker, we won't have this kind of scenario. But as we sit here right now, looking forward, you could see quite a bit less corn used for methanol production due to just lost gasoline demand. Now, the scenario I lay out, it is based on this gradual sustained return to economic activity through the summer and a moderate slow expansion of gasoline consumption. Hopefully that's wrong for everybody concerned, and we can see it pick up substantially as we get into June, July, and August.
So a little hope there. $675 million is actually the total number that you're talking about, and that would be offset by some increased usage of corn in the livestock industry. But
yeah, it won't be a complete loss of that amount. Nowhere close. Yeah, but we're talking somewhere in the, I would think somewhere in the $450 million loss in total.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Yes, sir.
That's Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist at the University of Illinois. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. On this Monday, let's check the weather forecast. Mark Russo is here. He's with Risk Pulse in Chicago. Planters would like to be rolling across the Midwest, though it looks like there was some pretty good rainfall in the eastern part of the Corn Belt. Can you tell me what conditions are like today and how they'll change over the next week or so?
Yeah, well, thanks, Todd. With assessing the rains here over the weekend, some of the most significant rainfall fell actually here across Illinois, especially the central portion of the state, where totals ranged anywhere from 1 to 4 inches, even a few isolated higher totals. Yesterday into today now, things have cleared up a bit, although there is going to be some rainfall, more on the light to moderate variety across the northern sections of the Midwest here today. And looking out for the balance of this week and even on into next week, in general, from a rainfall standpoint, much of Illinois in the eastern Corn Belt will see near to slightly above normal precipitation. Some of the wettest conditions, though, will be in states such as Michigan. But for Illinois, with these rains, again, it's kind of typical for this time of year with these systems coming through every few days or so. One thing's for sure, it does not look to be any kind of exceptionally wet pattern. But all in all, the best conditions for planting will be out across the western Corn Belt. But here in Illinois, in the eastern belt, things look okay. They're not great or ideal, but then again, they're not problematic either. And definitely a far cry from a year ago, which was exceptionally wet already at this time.
Okay, so not too bad here. However, in other parts of the globe in the Northern Hemisphere, things have not been so great. Can you tell me about those dry conditions that stretch from France all the way to Kazakhstan?
Yeah, especially over the past 4 to 5 weeks, we've seen dryness intensify across Europe and Western Russia. As we look ahead over the next few weeks, there is going to be net contraction of the dryness or improvement in the overall situation. Our highest confidence for significant rainfall to help improve yield potential for winter crops, as well as adequate soil moisture for summer crop planting, those are in countries like such as England and France and Germany. That's where the highest totals will be. In the Black Sea region, in countries such as Ukraine and then southern Russia, and Romania, Bulgaria, that's where rainfall is a bit debatable. It looks like there will be some improvement in the dryness there, but in a place like the Russia winter wheat belt, which is also their corn growing area as well, that's where rainfall coming up looks to be a little more debatable and more uncertainty there. So again, from a high-level standpoint, it looks like there is net improvement, but once you start to drill down into these regional areas, especially the Black Sea region, then how much improvement coming up over the next few weeks? That's looking more uncertain here today.
Hey, thanks so much for keeping up on all the weather across the planet. We do appreciate that. Mark, we'll talk with you again next week.
Great. Thanks for having me, Todd.
That's Mark Russo from Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois. Let's turn our attention now to the cash grain situation. We're joined by Greg Johnson. He's at the Andersons. Good afternoon to you, Greg. Thanks for being with us.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about what's been happening in the elevator, though you're working from home like many of us.
Yeah, the farmers are not happy with the prices, so they've concentrated basically on getting the crop planted. We had a big percentage of the corn and beans planted here in East Central Illinois last week before the rains came in Thursday and then again on Saturday. So farmer movement as far as selling grain has been basically non-existent. And they're just hoping that there's a bottom in sight here sometime soon, and that you know, we'll see a little bit of a rebound. But until then, I think most of the focus is on getting the this year's crop of corn and beans in the ground.
Do you think there is a bottom in the offing?
2 weeks ago, I would have thought that maybe we were getting close to a bottom. Back in 2016, in the fall, August and September, we had cash prices below $3, similar to what we're seeing now. And then the market rebounded, shortly thereafter. It didn't stay below $3 very long in 2016. But the circumstances, after seeing what crude oil did last week, going to basically zero, makes you think that we have to get the demand ramped back up. We have to get people back to work and driving to get the gasoline demand ramping back up so that we can get the ethanol demand and then the corn demand by default picking up. And until that happens, it's hard to try to pick a bottom in this market until we actually start seeing some demand from the ethanol side show back up.
That number of miles driven would be a twofold calculation. One of them you talked about, commuter miles, and I'm wondering whether there have been much discussion as to how much people will actually be going back to work or whether they'll work some days at home and some days at the office. And the other would, of course, be those summer travel miles for vacation.
Well, it's been talked about, and you hit it right on the head, both topics you brought up. Number one, the summer driving. Will people travel to go to a national park or to a ball game? Possibly not, if there's still a lot of concern about the coronavirus. So, the miles may not pick up as much this summer as what we might think in a normal summer. And then the other thing, staying at home. Even though it may be okay to go back to work, some businesses will have their employees work from home. It's just safer that way, as long as they can, hooked up to the internet and get their work done. So I think it may be a while longer before we see demand ramp back up to where we'd like to see it, just for those two reasons that you just mentioned.
Does Basis tell you anything about that situation at all?
It does. We have to get bigger carries in the market. I think you'll see old crop corn and old crop beans weaken more than you'll see the new crop corn and beans. And then in the new crop, the spreads will widen out. The market is going to encourage elevators and farmers to store grain as long as they can. They're basically going to tell the farmers and the elevators, we don't want it now, we want you to store it, and we'll pay you to store it. And so you'll see wide carrying charges and wider spreads, I think, as the days and weeks go on.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
That's Greg Johnson. He's with the Andersons and helps us wrap up this edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.